SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here on a Tuesday night on the grid. 844-843-6879 is the number. You call that tonight, you actually get Joe's College Basketball Total of the Century, which he's giving out tonight, believe it or not.
It's a total?
College basketball total of the century. The total, you know.
I thought I liked this side. Now, all right.
We got live NBA, NHL, college hoops, tons of football. We had NFL Week 18, last week of the regular season, a lot to figure out. The Wolverines and the Huskies will play Monday night in the national championship in Houston. We've got Rick Haro in hour number one.
Wow.
Hit Burbell in the mix here with the Falcons somehow still breathing some life in Week 18. Don't know how, but
incredible.
Falcons actually, Matias, big Panther fan coming up on Sunday, that's for sure. Big Panther fan. A lot going on. Mike Carver and, of course,
let's go.
The Encyclopedia. Not anymore, actually. The Encyclopedia was the Encyclopedia of College Football. That title now should belong to me, the one, the only, go! For the two, Joe Lisi.
Carver, hi, Joe. Carver. Yeah, you want to? He can't take the encyclopedia. No way.
I'm not going to do that to you.
Michigan and Wisconsin, Washington last night. Outright college football bowl final, semifinal, playoff. Hit the total 4-0.
We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159. Great to have you with us here on a Tuesday night. A lot to accomplish. It's been a few days since we've been together, at least here on the radio side. We were on Coast to Coast this afternoon. But Mike Carver and, of course, go for the two, Joe Lisi. So, Joe, what are you saying to me now here? What were you trying sell?
I mean, I might have lost the bowl season to you.
You did.
We blew it out of the water with the 2024 college football semifinal playoff double diamond package. We swept the board. Michigan, lay the number. Michigan, money line. Michigan, alt, up to 6.5. UW, plus the 3.5. UW, plus the 152 money line and the over 61.5. What more do you want for a bowl package?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, just like the NFL was cruising with, I mean, for the bowl season here, we were combined 54-28, it looks like, Joe, my math is fast here. 54-28. That's me and you combined for the bowl
54
games.
54-28.
Yes.
Let me do the math on that. That is
now
65.8%. They dropped a bomb on me.
Let's just circle this back to what really happened here. Joe started out very hot. He was 19-5. After last Wednesday's games, that was the night, Joe, with West Virginia, USC, Oklahoma State, Texas A&M. After those games, you were 19-5.
Unbelievable.
I was 13-11 after those games.
Yeah.
And that was with winning all four games that night, Joe. So I was actually 9-11 going into Wednesday night.
I need a recount.
You don't need a recount. I track everything. I'll send you the entire sheet if you would like.
I have to go back to the tape. I want to make
sure
that
that's here's right. Here's what the tape will tell you, Joe.
Good.
After I had 9 wins and 11 losses through 20 ball games, I finished 19-2 the remaining 21.
19.
I sure did. I went, I don't like to do this, Joe. I don't like to pump myself up, but I'm going to do it.
90%?
That Wednesday, I went 4-0. That Thursday, that was the Louisville USC night. The Thursday, 4-0. That was the Rutgers, K-State, Arizona, Oklahoma over. The Friday, 4-0. Kentucky, Notre Dame, over in the Iowa State game, and Missouri plus the 4.5. Saturday, 3-1. Only loss, which ended a really big streak, was the Wyoming minus 3.5. And then yesterday, 4-1. Only loss was the Liberty Oregon over.
I should have won the Tennessee game. Let me just say that. I should have won.
If you did, it would have been one. You would have been 27-14, and you would have been one back going to the title game.
I'll compromise. We'll give you the Intercontinental Belt. All right.
Well, how is that the Intercontinental Belt?
Well, we'll give you the bowl season. I mean, it's not the regular season.
We'll split the regular season.
Yeah, but I mean, I was 9-1 in conference championships.
What does that mean?
As the elevated games go up, right? College football semifinal playoff game. I was 4-0.
That's great, Joe. Bottom line, 28-13, 26-15.
Conference championship weekend, 9-1, 9-1, 9-1.
Would you like me to do the NFL next?
You came out peacocking in 2024. You got a couple
Would you like me to do the NFL next?
Come on, hero.
One week to go. 40-26-3 for me.
What is it?
I am 40-26-3 NFL.
60%.
And you are 35-32-2.
I'm 52%. That's still technically not bad.
Now remember, once upon a time,
I was 11.
You were 31-20-2.
Oh, I know, hero.
And you've gone 1-3.
Four
weeks in a row you went 1-3.
You put the kibosh on anything.
Now look, there's still some opportunities for you here. We split the college regular season. I won the bowls. I'm going to win the NFL regular season. We still have the NFL playoffs
and Super Bowl.
Well, Super Bowl's part of the NFL playoffs, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't like the record keeping. I got to go back and listen.
Well, wait a second. Like I said, I have it all right here. If you want me to send it to you and you can double check it, you can.
No, I'm going to have to go through it.
There's a Bruin goal, Joe. Bruin's on the board here. Bruin's on the board in Columbus. Bruin's on the board.
Was it Mike Bossy?
Who? Bossy been retired a while, Joe. He's also unfortunately passed away. No, it was not Bossy. That's because we did that Bossy on this date in 86, scored his 500th career goal.
I know Bossy was an Islander with Mike Smith.
By the way, the Sixers are up 31 on the Bulls. It's not even halftime yet. Clicking to halftime now. Smashing them with Embiid back in the lineup. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
SportsGrid Radio. Sirius XM 159. All right, Joe. We got Haro coming up next, so let me try to squeeze in some of the stuff that's actually going on right now. Only one NBA game. They just started in Memphis with the Grizzlies and the Spurs. The Sixers at halftime are up 31 on the Bulls.
Unbelievable. I told
it's 73-42. The Sixers are laying 29.5 live, Joe. You want to take a shot with
Kobe
the Bulls?
What is White doing? What are they doing?
Well, you get yourself involved in this stuff. It's just, what's Kobe White doing? Let me tell you, Joe. You want to know what he's doing?
I got it. Probably nothing.
Probably nothing would be
11 points, 0-for-4 from 3.
Mm.
Complete money.
Well, let me guess, you got the threes, you don't got the points. Right? Is that yeah, pretty much?
DeRozan, look at this guy. 14 points, 0-for-2 from 3. A bunch of has-beens. Caruso, Drummond. Look at all these guys.
Has-beens. Joe's all over this team. They also just started in New Orleans. Pelicans already up 10 on the Nets 3 minutes into the game, so that's not a good start there. And the Thunder and the Celtics are out. Thunder up 9-6 early there. We have two late-night games. The Hornets are in Sacramento against the Kings. The Magic are in Golden State against the Warriors. Tonight, me and Joe, I think we both like the over in that Hornet-King game, which is 233.5 now at this point. In hockey right now, Rangers just got a goal back against the Hurricanes, now 2-1 in the second period at the Garden.
All right.
The Bruins and the Blue Jackets are 1-1. I yelled Bruin goal before, Joe, and then Columbus tied it up like seconds later. So that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the Bruins to win. So we have them part of a money line parlay here tonight.
Do you?
Yeah.
See, I can get into that like in about another couple of months. I'll get in. When do the playoffs start?
Yeah, April. Hockey? April.
Yeah, I got time.
You got time. Capitals have scored 3 first period goals in Pittsburgh against the Penguins. And they are just underway in a few other places. Dallas already up 1-0 on Montreal, which is nice. Chicago and Nashville also underway there. You do have Edmonton. I played Connor McDavid tonight, Joe, to score for Edmonton against Philadelphia. So might as well start the new year off the right way with Connor McDavid.
Connor McDavid.
To score. Hoops.
Yes.
What do you got here? About UConn's up 30 on DePaul, so.
All right, that was a 23.5 point number. How much time is left?
Just under 5 minutes. They're up 29 right now, Joe.
Nah, Carver.
Yeah, not getting that one. Pittsburgh's up, North Carolina's up 6 at Pittsburgh, 40-34.
That was
early in the
line,
second
right?
half.
3.5 tonight?
Yeah, 4.5 that was, yes, 4.5. So that's very much still in doubt. What's not in doubt is Purdue's hammering Maryland. They're up 20 in the second 13. Half, 45-25. Wisconsin 15. Leads Iowa by 4, 50-46. That's in the second half.
What'd the Johnnies do?
They tip in about 10 minutes. That's a 8:30.
I love Butler. I'm taking Butler.
Love Butler. It's at 6.5 now, Joe. 6.5 for St. John's.
I'm going to alt it up over the 7.
Mm.
Feel like that 7 is just...
That's the number that you're looking for?
FAU in a dog fight with ECU.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Ooh, 46-43. How about that? Meanwhile, Trucker Larry's got to listen. I know that he does eventually, but we've obviously exhausted. Trucker Larry just tweeted us, what were the final college pick totals?
Here we go.
We did spend the entire first segment on
it. Does he listen to the show? Or
he does. I think he listens back on the podcast show, which you can get at anywhere where you get your podcasts. Of course, Apple, Spotify, etc. You can listen to Carver and Lisi the next day. Why not? Why wouldn't you want to?
He's touting the Badgers as a covering machine against LSU.
Obviously we didn't spend any time with that today because that game didn't matter. But, it was kind of what I was feeling, Joe. Like, LSU's defense was so bad all year. Even if everybody wasn't in there, what are you telling me? That the guys who Kelly didn't think were good enough to play were any better? And they finally got some stops in the fourth quarter. Because Wisconsin scored, felt like it was scoring on every possession at one point, and then suddenly they never scored again. So they stepped up when they had to, but that Nussmeier, he stinks too, Joe. He was throwing balls 5, 10 feet over guys' heads.
He's not going to be the quarterback next year.
Who'd they get in the transfer portal?
They didn't get anybody yet, but...
Yet? Well, DJU to Florida State, Joe.
Yeah.
You're down on DJU.
I am. You like
think
him.
He's a hack.
He's terrible.
Yeah, I will say, after watching a couple Oregon State games this year, it was a little unimpressive. It was a little unimpressive.
you know, but he's.
And I know that they want to play like a blue collar style or out there.
I'm going to take Florida State to the 12 team playoff. They couldn't make it with four, they'll make it with 12.
We'll see. I don't know about that.
With me driving the ship. Better not drive it into rough waters, I'll tell you that. Take it on water. We're taking on water.
That was a pretty gutless effort. I know that they, you know, it seems like everyone's leaving, though, Joe, no? Like, I don't know if that's going to be even close to the same
tier next year.
He'll
be like the face of the franchise. He'll be the face of the franchise.
Face of the franchise. You excited for the golf being back this week?
Oh, I tell you what. The biggest thing I told my kids, I said, listen, Dad isn't going to be, you know, like really up for any of the football stuff this week. I said, because golf returns.
Hey, so tournament of champions.
Yeah, I said, listen, I have to break down all of these players for the tournament of champions. I said I have multiple hits to talk about golf this week in January.
That ain't right.
College football semifinal playoff games. The last thing I want to talk about is like Miles Jamison. Swings a big club.
Who?
Miles Jamison. You know, like all these games. You know, Heath Furloff, you know, teeing off on 19. Not even 18, 19. Get it? The 19th hole?
The 19th hole, yes, we get it.
I'm just saying.
Harry English in the field.
Let me take a look at these guys.
100-1 for Harry this week.
Nah, it's not enough. He's a hump. He is a hump.
He is a hump.
300-1.
There's some deep guys. It's a short field this week, too.
Tournament of champions. You ready?
Yeah.
You want my play?
Yeah, let's get your play. Let's go.
There's two guys that I keyed in on.
You better hurry. You're going to run out of time here.
Camilo Villegas.
You keyed in on him, huh? He keyed in on him?
The kid's
he ain't a kid, just so you know. Not a kid.
Camilo.
Been on tour a long time.
Yeah, well, from what I hear, he loves the irons.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. Haro with us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah! And we're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Great to have you with us on a Tuesday night. The first Carver and Lisi of 2024. Of course, Happy New Year to everybody. Boston goal here. Let's go. They take a 2-1 lead in Columbus over the Blue Jackets. That is very good news. Now we just need him to, you know what we haven't said in a long time, Joe. Extend. We need some extending here from them.
We're going to need it with the college troops, too. We
do need a favorite. Meanwhile, Joe, it is Tuesday here on Carver and Lisi. It is a new year, so we might as well, of course, as always, bring in our sports business and legal insider. And a very happy new year to him, and that, of course, is Rick Haro. Hi, Rick. How are you?
Would you rather the Dolphins play the Bills twice in a row in Miami?
Here we go.
Or is it better for the Dolphins to play Kansas City in Kansas City? I'd almost opt for the loss on Sunday night, but I'd rather have them win the division and then see what happens.
Wow. This is obviously a very tricky spot for me, Rick, because the Bills are in one of the weirdest situations I think we've ever seen in, you know, last week of the season NFL playoff history, where there's a good chance, or at least a decent chance, that when they play this game with Miami on Sunday night, they could either be the 2 seed and host you know, potentially two playoff games in the playoffs in the wild card and the divisional round, or be completely out. There is no middle ground whatsoever, which is absolutely bizarre, Rick.
Yeah, although the scenarios of Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, and Houston, right? That they all have to win.
It's kind of weird.
If Pittsburgh
and Jacksonville win, the Bills would be out if they lost to Miami. That's if the Steelers and the Jaguars both win. That's the situation.
Got it. All right. Well, yeah, I'm glad we conveyed this very important information to our listeners, because frankly, I would rather see the Bills out. I know you would.
Well, you and everybody else.
But I
you
would
and everyone
rather
else
see the Bills. If the Dolphins are number two, I'd rather see the Bills out, because I don't want to see the Bills Dolphins win a home game and then have to beat the Bills somewhere else down the road. I don't care if it's in Miami or not. I remember in the 1980s when the Dolphins were favored at home and the Bills beat them at home. I've seen enough of that, all right? I remember growing up and in the 70s after the Dolphins Super Bowl, where the Bills would be, the battering ram. The Dolphins would win like 20 in a row. And things have changed.
Well, they've had their streaks, because then the Bills used them as a battering ram in the early 90s. They beat them in every playoff game, beat them all the time. Dolphins then had a run, and now the Bills have had a run of battering-ramming them again, because Josh Allen's won 10 of his last 11 games against the Dolphins, and he's beat them up pretty good as he heads into this game on Sunday night. Speaking of Miami, Rick, I just heard that you were there and you were talking about the Orange Bowl. How was that atmosphere, considering how out of hand that game got between Georgia and Florida State last weekend?
Well, I'll tell you how it worked. It was, you know, the first nine possessions and Georgia Tech scores, and it's, you know, 63 before you turn around. I mean, Georgia. Georgia. We've got to figure out how to move the transfer portal for the sake of Oregon State, for the sake of FSU. I went to the Citrus Bowl yesterday, and I saw an absolutely overmatched Iowa team that didn't belong there, because everybody already checked out of that. Tennessee killed them, and it's not fair. I mean that would be a great argument. I know that doesn't mean anything in business, but it's really not fair. The transfer portal, I think, if it moved 3 weeks, could solve a lot of these issues, and they've got to figure that one out before the 12-team playoff, certainly.
Well, Rick, let's keep it there for a second, because what does this mean for Florida State going forward, right? They're trying to leave the ACC now, watching this transpire for Mike Norvell. What could they absolutely do? I mean, do they have any leverage next year? Because next year it's a 12-team playoff.
Yeah, well, before I answer that question, since you know FSU, this is an entry point to answering this question. Pronounce the kid's name right. The kid that went from Clemson, you know, to Oregon State, and now he's going to FSU. So it starts with a U. Yeah, that's it, right. He's got like 38 syllables.
Ugangale.
Now he's going to be a Seminole.
Ugangale.
Yeah. That's probably right. Do you remember all the stuff he had last year as the poster child for the beginning of NIL? And it was like $6 million or $8 million, and Dabo Swinney didn't believe in it, and then he left. And he's, you know, wasn't that good, but then he got to be good, and let's see how good he really is. It's becoming, we all know this, but it's like, it's exactly like NFL free agency. We're down here in University of Miami land, kind of upset because, the kid Ward, instead of somebody at University of Miami, is declaring he's going to go to the NFL. Van Dyke's gone, and now it's musical quarterbacks. Who do you replace who with? And, you could say it's getting out of hand. It's not easy for me to say, because I understand completely the business issues of all of this. And I do think we lost sight of what could have been a saving grace when President Emmert 2.5 years ago said, all right, we buy it. There's now a new Supreme Court decision that says you got to pay the athletes. We understand it. So, you know, sit tight because the next year and a half, I'm going to have a set of rules that everybody's going to buy off on. Well, tweets. No crickets, tweets, no rules. And it's the same kind of thing as, you know, let's figure this one out long term, but there's nothing to figure out because we don't have any rules.
Yeah. It is true. There are no rules, that's for sure. It seems like, Rick, last night they're probably going to get, I would have to imagine, a pretty monstrous number for those two games when you consider the high drama level that you had and the sun-soaked field at Pasadena, the granddaddy of them all with Michigan and Alabama, two heavy-hitter programs, and you had a very fun game with Texas and Washington that ended up going all the way down to the end. I'm going to guess in our final year here of this four-team playoff that they're probably going to get some historic numbers for that Rose Bowl game.
I hope so, because you know, there was a kind of a bad taste in everybody's mouth when TCU was the darling, and then Georgia killed them, and then the ratings were 17.1, which was, you know, the lowest rating we've almost ever seen for a championship game. I think the ratings are going to be really, really good here. It would be hard to believe that there's going to be a blowout between these two undefeated teams. And so I'm hoping that not only were the ratings really good yesterday, because I'm sure they were, but, you know, ushering in the end of the 14 playoff, I think we're going to have a quite respectable Monday night next week and a very close game.
The rating, what I saw, guys, was 26-4, 26,400,000 for the
Rose
Bowl. You know, which the
highest one.
Yeah, the highest one ever in the history, I believe, was the 33 million between Georgia and Alabama, right, Rick? So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
In regards to watchability, with a 12-team playoff, right, we know there's more money involved. But from the viewership perspective, seeing what happened yesterday to Liberty, are they going to tune into those lower-tier games as much as they will, like, the Final Four?
Well, I think the fact that, let's remember the format next year, I think that's going to make it a little easier because, you know, the top four teams get that bye. And I think, you know, the Liberty of next year, if they're 16th seed or 12th seed, will play number five. So that's a little bit different than playing number one. And I think at the end of the day, that was overmatched from the beginning. And I also think Oregon wanted to make a statement that, you know, Liberty is great, but, you know, let's keep them out of the New Year's Six. And it's really kind of too bad, but they did play with the chip on their shoulder. And, you know, that's what happened. That's kind of the Cincinnati game, what, 2 years ago.
And listen, that's Joe. They'll have a lot more juice than these other games because they mean something. It's a win or go home type of game, and I saw they're doing it. They're doing it that Friday and Saturday, December 20th and 21st next year. I was looking at the schedule before because I was interested, Rick, in seeing when they're going to roll out Pasadena again because I saw Herb Street tweeting about that all day. This is where they should always have the championship, even though the stadium is an absolute dump that's 100 years old. It looks great on TV when you start the fourth quarter and the sun is setting in the west and all this stuff, but they're actually a quarterfinal game the next 2 years so that they can keep it on New Year's Day.
Yeah, and they're also going to move the championship game around. I did a little segment from the Orange Bowl before I got in, you know, the Orange Bowl will be semis and then the finals over the next couple of years. So they're spreading it around. Everybody's going to get games.
We'll come back. We'll do the year in review with our man Rick Haro, Sports Business and Legal Insider. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. On a Tuesday night, we've got our Sports Business and Legal Insider. Look out! Rick Haro with us here tonight, as we do every week on CNL. All right, Rick, we've, of course, got the first week of January. It's New Year's, so we have the year in review from you. I did a bunch of these with you on Coast to Coast already today, and I told you at the end of the spot that I had to save all the college ones for Joe for tonight. So I had to make sure that he got in for them. So I'll start here with the college one, because there is quite a few of them on your year in review. The collapse of the Pac-12 in 2023, and I think what's going to be the absolute cherry on top of this story, Rick, is that they're going to, in their last year, really, of their existence as we know it, they possibly are going to have a national champion, which I think is absolutely great.
Well, what a great year for the Pac-12 as far as the on-field bowl performance is concerned. I mean, you know, Oregon, yes. State, Cal. There are a lot of schools that didn't do well, but Utah. But a lot of schools that did. Unfortunately, that doesn't matter anymore. And so the utter collapse of the Pac-12 leads to Washington State and Oregon State being the only two teams that have rights left in the Pac-12. And they went to court, and they preserved their opportunity to take their own brand and control it. So what you're going to see is them building a Pac-12 brand based on Pac-12 history, do a deal with the Mountain West for scheduling, schedule some other games as well, and try to build a few valuable games out of Oregon State and Washington State and resurrect the Pac-12. Now, the big question is going to be, ultimately, do they get some credit as they would have originally for being a conference that automatically qualifies for the 12-team playoff? The answer is no, not automatically, but let's see how they build themselves.
Rick, we know Deion Sanders hit the ground running in Colorado. They won their first three games. What was the economic impact to Deion as it related to Boulder and just the rest of college football?
Hundreds of millions of dollars giving black coaches an opportunity. The first few games and the spring practice were all the rage in Colorado. You know, now he's got some issues because the expectations are high and the quality of the players is not for now. But he certainly put the football world on notice for the first five or six games. And Deion, a relentless self-promoter. You know, his sunglasses, all of the other things that he's got. He made a lot of money for himself. He made a lot of money for his coaches. He made a lot of money for the university.
He certainly did, that's for sure. This Shohei Ohtani record-breaking $700 million deal with the Dodgers, very recent, of course. They went on top of that by getting Yamamoto as well for $300-plus million. A lot of money being spent in Dodger land.
Yeah, and, good for the Dodgers. I would say bad for baseball, but, you know, they have the ability to finance all of this through their regional cable network. And so, at the end of the day, they're able to not only tell Ohtani they're going to pay him $700 million, but you can defer, we'll accept it, we're going to then use it to get you some help, so we're almost guaranteed the World Series every year. And at the end of the day, only a few teams could even begin to do that. Maybe the Yankees and the Cubs. Angels could have, but did not. And so when you think about what it means for baseball in the future, it means that there are very few teams that are going to be able to compete. And even if they do, just because they have the money, it doesn't always buy happiness. I mean, look at the $101 million that the Mets are going to have to pay for luxury tax. What does it buy them last year? Fourth place in the NL East.
Rick, talk to me about the college football playoffs in regards to, we know about viewership, but what's the economic impact of these four teams in it right now in 2024 and 2023?
Well, it's tremendous because of the two teams that have never been there before. And so when you think of Washington and Michigan, one of them will rise as an undefeated national champion. The coach will be a legend. The idea of the school overcoming incredible odds, leaving the Pac-12, or emerging with a coach that was suspended for nearly half the games. Each of them are a compelling story. and it'll be a significant amount of impact for their respective schools.
Rick, what's been the economic impact of Taylor Swift showing up at all these Kansas City Chiefs games? I love what the on-the-field impact has been, and that's that Kelsey's a shell of himself now, and he's nowhere near the player that he's been the past couple of years. I love that, and that the Chiefs are finally going to have to go on the road in January in the playoffs. I love that. But what about the economic side of it?
Well, let's look at the what you just said first. You know how spitting the guy is? Have you seen it? You know how many times he's looked up in the stands? Have you watched?
God bless him.
Like,
you know, yeah, God bless him. I'm glad he's found happiness.
Like, Taylor, forgive me. Honey, forgive me. Yeah, I understand. But I know as a Bills fan, you want that revenge. And you know, you're probably going to get it this year. But the impact of the NFL opening themselves up to an entirely different segment of demographics is a wonderful thing to embrace. And the league could have said, all right, that's nice, but we have a game to play. They did not. They said, anything we can do to broaden our appeal is all good. And that's exactly what's happened.
Rick, I do want to go off a little bit. Where are we with the merger of the XFL and the USFL? Because now they're one continuous league now, right? The United Football League. So is that going to
March 30th.
Right. So is that from a dollars and cents standpoint, like The Rock bought it for $15 million. Is he going to actually make money on this deal?
Well, you know, Larry Jones, who has been a top executive at Fox for a long time, a month ago, spilled the beans a little bit, and he said, you know, we owned and bought these franchises. Now, take a look at what it means when we will have the opportunity to sell franchises in a newly coordinated and merged league. So there will be that happening very quickly, and I'm looking forward to the product because I think the merged league is here to stay, and now we're going to focus on attendance, and we're going to focus on television, and let's see what the product looks like. I'm sure it's going to be nothing like the NFL, but I think it is going to be better than it has been over the last couple of years.
So what happens with all that? Like, did they chop some of the teams, or is it all the teams from both leagues? They didn't get rid of franchises, right? Or did they have to exonerate, you know, take some of them out?
Yeah, they chopped some of the teams, and but the teams that are sort of the stalwarts, you know, let's contrast for a minute. Birmingham has always been one of those big minor league franchises. They're going to make it, and they're going to survive and thrive. Pittsburgh did not make it. There were a few other cities that they thought would make it and did not. But it's just the idea of, you know, who wants to take financial responsibility for certain markets. That doesn't mean that they won't next year, but they're not going to do it coming out of the box on March 30th.
Yeah, I got the list. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm just going to give it to you. Then you go, Joe. So they chopped Orlando, Seattle, and Vegas out of the XFL, and they chopped Houston, the Jersey Generals, New Orleans, Philadelphia, and the Pittsburgh Maulers out of the USFL.
That's terrible.
Those are the teams that got chopped. They're out of the league.
So there's no Vegas team or
no Vegas
team?
No New York team.
That's terrible. That is a bad look. I'm sorry.
We still got the Brahmas in San Antonio. We got the Brahmas.
Yeah, I don't like that, Carver. All right, Rick, talk to us about the... that ruins everything. I got to admit now. Artificial intelligence, right? I could tell you this right now, Rick, as it might relate in sports. You could build any algorithm you want from the smartest individual in MIT, Harvard, Yale. I don't care. They're not figuring out what's going on between my left and right ear. I could tell you that. I'll crash and disrupt any AI system that tries to, you know, mimic or clone me. I can tell you that right now.
Well, I guarantee there is nothing related to artificial intelligence that will allow it to get inside your head. I can guarantee you that. But I can also guarantee that artificial intelligence will not solve the issue of the which guy should report and which one shouldn't. So no matter how artificially intelligent we are, there's always room for human error. And I'm not sure where things are going to go, but I put that as the top tech issue and concept and moment for 2023. Because when you think about where it's going, there is so much potential for good, and there's also potential for not so good, to be honest about it.
And number two there, Rick, was virtual reality in sports data analytics.
Yeah. So, you know, that's real. Wearables, virtual reality, data analysis, getting the athletes to be more trained, to be more aware, to be more mindful. All that stuff is really important. And we're entering a phase where data is driving all of our decisions. It has been for a while, but it's going to drive it even further now.
Well, let me ask you this, Rick, just quickly. With AI, as it relates to the sports application, the gaming, is there anything the AI, like, do they take AI when Carver and I place bets? Like, they look at our tendencies? Is that how they're utilizing AI?
Well, I guarantee you that everybody's going to try to get inside that for their own purposes. And I'm pretty sure that the betting industry has a big task in the future to try to make sure that it stays one step ahead of AI and its ability to taint, you know, gaming. Because if we know that we're laying bets and AI makes it difficult to win, we're not going to bet anymore.
That's very true. Very true indeed. Before you go, Rick, you got a pick for the Tournament of Champions as we start the PGA season this weekend in Hawaii, 2 weeks in a row in Hawaii here to get going.
Yes, I know that, and I'm really. It'll be really interesting to see what happens with some of the guys. I believe, because I've been around and seen some of the magic, that Ricky Fowler is going to have a hell of a year. Now, you know, he's not going to win a tournament; he can't get in. But Ricky Fowler is going to have a hell of a year. Mark my words.
Maybe we can finally get him a major, Rick, this year. That would be. Let's get him a major.
Oh my God!
Let's get Ricky a major.
I've already got the sign that's in the middle of the neighborhood, you know, congratulations, but I've nothing to do with it yet until he wins.
That's very true. Rick, great job as always. Have a tremendous week, and we'll talk to you next week, buddy. There he is, Rick Haro, our sports business and legal insider. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM 159. All right, Joe. We'll do a lot of football in hour two. We've been very busy. We haven't gotten to do any of it yet. But we will absolutely do that. The Sixers are up 26 at the end of the third quarter. So you get the Bulls plus 23.5 right now, Joe, if you so desire. The Nets are getting absolutely pasted in New Orleans. It's 59-34 at the half. You got a real good one going in OKC as the Celtics and the Thunder are tied at 48 with 4 minutes to go in the first half. And the Grizzlies and the Spurs are going toe-to-toe, Joe. 37-35, Grizzlies lead late in the first half. So that's what's going on there. As far as the college hoops, UConn ended up winning by 30, Joe.
So, really?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Florida Atlantic now up 8 with 2.5 to go against East Carolina. St. John's up 2 on Butler. They're about 10 minutes in. Syracuse and Duke about to get going momentarily as well. Purdue hammered Maryland. Wake Forest up 6 on Boston College. As that game's about to go final, too. And North Carolina up 11 on Pitt on the road. So nice job by them on the road.
I know. So, I mean...
What, Joe?
No, I'm thinking. That Pitt game...
Pitt game was North Carolina minus 4.5 pregame. So, nice job by UNC on the road. They're going to cover that. Lots of hockey. I'll give you that when we come back, too. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. Hour two next.